Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
We are back, and I got a number for you. That number is, of course, 62. What is 62? Well, if you're like me, you might know 62 as a number 2 after 60 or 1 after 61, or it could be the number of days that we have until kickoff, until this NFL season is underway for our boys in black and gold. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Parnes. Welcome in to another edition of Fact or Fiction, brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain. We're here for a new season. We're going to be joined alongside another new co-host, and then we're also going to be revisited probably a little bit later on by one of our old co-hosts, Mr. Brian Anthony Davis will be joining us. But in fact, we are going to be joined by a different Brian, and this man goes by the name of Brian Hamlin. He will be here with us in just a moment. Now, Brian Hamlin is, of course, a Yinzer. He is based out of Allison Park, Pennsylvania, just outside of the beautiful Sunnyburg itself, and we're going to be hearing from him in just a couple of minutes. But I do want to invite everybody to call in today. We are looking to have a great show. We're glad to be back here with you. 347-850-8581 is the number to call. That's 347-850-8581. Please join us. Today's episode, we're talking all sorts of interesting things. We got a number of questions coming your way, but here's a little bit of a preview for you tonight. We're talking James Harrison. Can he continue to be the tackle menace that he is in his late age? He's like a fine wine, that James Harrison. Only gets better with age. We're also talking about new rookie first round pick TJ Watt. Can he channel a little bit of his brother and become the next powerhouse defensive player for our boys in black and gold? Martavis Bryant, as Stephen A. Smith would say, he is now staying off the weed, and we're gonna see if he can stay off the weed and play a full season out in Pittsburgh. All sorts of interesting things to talk about, but really quick before we get started, we haven't paid tribute to them, so I feel the need to do so. Congratulations to another Pittsburgh team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously taking home this year's 2017 Stanley Cup after taking it in 2016. Listen, folks, I was there in 2016 for the first game of the Cup, and it was one of the most electric feelings that I've ever experienced. I cannot imagine what it was like inside of the iceberg that night when it was clinched. Of course, not there in Pittsburgh, but in Nashville. Some great stuff. Two-time Conn Smythe winner Sidney Crosby also getting his opportunity to hoist it around. So, folks, let's talk a little bit here as we await Brian for in just a minute or so. I'm super excited for this season because obviously expectations are very high. The AFC North seems to be a division that this team can take once again. There's going to be some very interesting factors that play into that. Le'Veon Bell, whether or not he's going to be getting an extension, and Brian and I will be talking about that here in a moment. That is something that is very important as well. We've got all sorts of interesting things on the defensive side of the ball, whether it be, you know, a full healthy linebacking core this year around, or whether it's the additions to the secondary that have been made. and even the new rookie, T.J. Watt, as I mentioned. We're going to be chatting about him not too long. But, of course, today's show is, of course, sponsored by Frank Walker Law, and we're going to take a quick message from him to see how he can help you in your time of need.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
FrankWalkerLaw.com, the top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, home to one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. For his Pennsylvania office, call 412-212-3878, or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-2089. Lots of interesting stuff here happening at BTSC. We remind you to check out them and be sure to follow us on Twitter as well. We appreciate your patience here as we're getting ready to start our program. Really quick, we do happen to have Mr. Brian Anthony Davis on the line right now. I'm going to bring in Brian. Brian, I want to talk to you right now before we get started with Mr. Hamlin, who's going to be joining us here in just a moment. I want to talk to you, Brian, about T.J. Watt, because he's the guy who's been lighting it up for me. You know, it wasn't very long ago, Brian, that Vince Williams said that T.J. Watt, quote, just gets it. The guy just seems to understand the way that the pro linebacking system is going to work there inside Pittsburgh, and I think he's got a really, really bright future with this team. Brian, it's great to hear from you again. Would you agree with me?
You know, I would, Zach. I think he has, you know, we all know about the football pedigree, coming from a big brother who, you know, defensive player of the year, you know, the sacks, everything that you get with his brother JJ. But you know what? He can't be measured to what JJ's has done. He needs to be measured by what he can do. And that conversion from moving over to outside linebacker in just one season and what he had done at Wisconsin was just remarkable. And the guy has such a high ceiling because we've seen what he's done with very little experience. And he has, like I said, a pedigree, but a work ethic that parallels that of his brother. So I'm feeling with that work ethic of that family, bringing it in, just getting what needs to be done at this level without the ego, he's going to be a star.
Yeah, and, you know, the athleticism and the prowess that he has displayed in practice, I mean, it's making me excited to see him in the exhibition sense because, obviously, you know, while those wins and losses may not matter, they certainly go a long way in determining whether or not someone can play in this league. And I know this is quite the parallel here that I'm about to draw, Brian, but you know, this is kind of interesting to me. NBA Summer League is going on right now. If we got any NBA fans out there, I know obviously no team in Pittsburgh still to this day, but hopefully we got some NBA fans out there. You know, it's hard to judge in Summer League who, you know, will be good in the NBA and who will be bad. However, you can tell who can play in the NBA and who cannot. And I think that that's something that we're going to see from the exhibition. Obviously, the Steelers have a lot of hope. They have a first-round pick in stakes of the hope of T.J. Watt being able to perform in the pros. But what do you think, Brian, Watt's biggest sort of challenge is here headed into his first year? I mean, you mentioned the pedigree. Could it be that pressure that he's getting from brother JJ, or, you know, maybe even just living up to the family name, or even living up to a first name or first round selection here for the Steelers?
You know, a lot of people, a lot of players, especially young players, are going to be, you know, they're going to have that problem. They're going to worry about living up to that expectation. But this guy has, like I said, work ethic. He's a very good head on his shoulders. You know, I think just don't put the bar way too high on him. Don't expect 15 sacks the first year. Don't expect him to be his brother. Let him just morph his way into the system. He doesn't have to be a starter day one in this system. He really doesn't, because you do have James Harrison there. You have Bud Dupree, who is the star of that linebacking core as far as on the outside. I mean, that's, I'm not talking about the inside with Ryan Shazier. I'm talking on the outside. Bud's your guy. Bud has all of the makings of being a defensive player of the year. And he was working with Chuck Smith, former Atlanta Falcon, this year, and Chuck Smith was just raving about what this guy can do. So you don't really have that pressure to go in and have to be the savior of the franchise if you're T.J. Watt. You need to just go in and learn the system. Just, you know, if he puts up 7 sacks this year, Zach, that would be a good number. If he puts up 5 sacks, that would be a decent number. Just let him go in, learn the system, get his feet wet, and just go crazy in year number two.
Yeah, and, you know, I have believed that Watt can surpass a number like 5, like 6, because I think he has that talent. But really, only time will tell. Brian Anthony Davis, so glad to have you join us here. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing on our newest co-host. You can find him on his podcast, Hot Takes with Ham. He's coming straight out of Allison Park, as I talked about before. He's a Yinzer through and through. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian Hamlin, good friend of mine. Brian, how you doing today? What's good, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, my guy. What about you?
Hey, you know, everything is pretty sunny down here and just a couple of hours south of the Berg down in Western Maryland. Brian, we got a lot of stuff here to talk about, and I think we need to just jump in it here because I think it's something that's going to be, you know, the question that's on pretty much every single Steeler fan mind right now is Le'Veon Bell, is he going to be coming back, and what's the number going to be? So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, just to remind you of how Fact or Fiction works here, we're going to present you with some statements, and they are either going to be fact or fiction, and Brian and I are going to duke it out, and we are going to see who comes out on top. Now, sometimes we're going to disagree, but we'd love to hear from you. Once again, that call-in number is going to be 347-850-8581. Please give us a call, and we want to hear your opinions. Also, feel free to tweet us at BTSC. So, Brian, Le'Veon Bell. This is where Steeler fans are stuck in the mud right now. It's a tough one. So I want to ask you, fact or fiction, Brian, the Steelers will sign Le'Veon Bell for more than $10 million a year in a contract extension?
So, Parnsy, I got to start my podcast career here with a bit of a hot take. I'm going to go fiction on this. And
okay.
I think that a lot of Steeler fans and a lot of people who seem to know a little bit about what goes on in the locker room, they have their doubts about Le'Veon Bell being mature about his career. But let's look at it like this. This week, via social media, you have Antonio Brown hosting some mini camp stuff for some friends, for other NFL players in Miami. That's what he's working on right now. Simultaneously, Le'Veon Bell, without really, as far as we know, negotiating with the Steel organization in terms of extending his contract, Le'Veon Bell is also in Miami, but not with Antonio Brown, not so much working out. He's actually working on his new mixtape. So I think that Le'Veon Bell is someone that, as much as an X factor as he is on the field and as versatile as he can be, I just can't see the Steelers really buying into him. I mean, I know that this is kind of coming out of left field, and I know that people are huge fans of Le'Veon Bell, as they should be. He's extremely talented, but I think that his work ethic is just not there. The guy talks about going to play in the NBA. I just don't think he's a Steeler. And I know that the new Steelers, the 21st century Steelers that we know are not, it's not a Bill Cowher team. It's not a Chuck Knoll team. It's a bit of a different vibe in Pittsburgh these days, but I just don't think that Le'Veon Bell is going to be a long-term Steeler. I would not be surprised that if 2018 he's wearing somebody else's colors.
Wow. Well, you know, Brian, I think it's interesting because that doesn't really come up here so much on, you know, for someone as prevalent as Antonio and Le'Veon. And last year, during some of our shows, when the old Brian, Mr. Brian Davis, who just joined us earlier, and I were talking, you know, I would always say, I don't really mind the antics because you're getting high quality production out of him. But Le'Veon is in an interesting spot because he does play the running back position, which now, you know, the run has sort of been phased out of the, you know, modern pro football game that we know it to be today. And I think you raise a very good point about his level of maturity. You know, he's had some instances in the past, obviously, with LeGarrette Blount, who may not have been the best influence for him. But, you know, very, very interesting sort of take that you're presenting with it. I'm going to go with fact on this one. I will disagree with you just because he has proven himself to be the best running back in football right now. I mean, there wasn't too long ago when we were talking about Adrian Peterson getting this kind of money because of his production as well. And now we are seeing that over in Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell. So I expect him to get the money. I think the Steelers like where they're at offensively. But you're right. This is not, you know, the Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher era Steelers. We're seeing much more flash, much more, you know, social prowess from these guys rather than the Steelers who lived in the Steel City and put their head down and did everything it took to get the job done and make sure they could get it done efficiently. So I think it's going to be something that obviously comes up in the next couple of weeks, but I do expect the Steelers to go ahead and lay that big old paycheck down at Le'Veon's feet.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if by the time that they reach week one or two out in Latrobe that they kind of figure something out with him. I mean, look, I love him. Like, he's great. But how cool is it as a Steeler fan or even as a football fan, really, to be able to watch a guy go out there and put up 900 yards receiving, and he does it pretty effortlessly. It's a completely different running style. It's extremely fluid. I mean, here's the other thing, Parnsey. What if – I feel like health can be a concern with him too because he's had some bad knees. He just had a groin surgery in the offseason.
Sure.
I mean, I just think that they're, you know, to kind of like take a bit of your side here, if you look last year whenever he was out of the offense, even with D'Angelo Williams being a huge factor for them, Le'Veon is just such a difference maker, and he can completely change the tide of a game. And I don't really think, I mean, even more so than any of the other killer bees. I mean, Ben is Ben, but, you know, Antonio Brown, I think Ben can still win a couple games without him. Le'Veon Bell, man, that's tough. I don't know. The Steelers are going to have a tough decision coming up whether or not they're going to pay him.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. The health concerns is something we didn't bring up at all, which I think is extremely relevant, and I'm glad that you mentioned it. I think on top of it, you know, the thing with Le'Veon, you know, is that now – you know, his backup is no longer D'Angelo because D'Angelo has pretty much called it quits here. Also, he made his pro wrestling debut not very long ago. I don't know if you saw that, Brian. That was great. He was on Impact Wrestling. He did I totally forget what it is, but he pulled kind of like an RKO move where he threw his knee into the guy he was fighting. It was great. You should hear the commentators. For anyone listening right now, take a look at that D'Angelo Williams entering the ring at Impact. He was fantastic. He does this like backflip where he lands like right on the guy and he almost gets the pin.
That's great.
The quote unquote, because we all know that pro wrestling is, you know, in every sense a real sport. next up, Brian, I want to talk about something because this headline just caught my eye. And I know we had something else planned for number two, but I want to jump ahead and go to the fourth question that we had planned, which will now become number two. And it's about the boy Martavis Bryant. He's had some problems staying off the weed, as we know.
Hey.
And, you know, it's been a little bit ridiculous. But recently, D'Angelo Williams said that Bryant might be the most underrated name on the team headed into this new season. This is a direct quote from Williams on ESPN Adam Schefter's podcast. Know them from Adam. Wow, that was hard to say. This is a direct quote from Williams. He goes, quote, "Martavis Bryant, I've never seen anybody his height do the things that he's done that I've seen him do. And you see Megatron back in the day, and you were like, that is insane. I'm not sure how fast Megatron was, but I'm almost sure Megatron wasn't a 4.25. He's 6'4", 6'5", 225, and ran a 4.25. I'm going to let you do the numbers, and I'm 100% sure and 100% positive that he can and will be better than Megatron." Now, that is a big statement coming from Williams right there. So, fact or fiction, Bryant, Martavis Bryant is primed to shine after all of his troubles last year.
I don't know if I can compare Martavis Bryant to Megatron just yet. I mean, D'Angelo Williams should maybe cool his jets, but I'm going to have to go with a definite fact. Martavis Bryant has put on, I think he's probably put on 20 pounds in this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
He looks, it's muscle.
It's beefy weight.
He's a big guy. And I think to kind of steal from that quote, a 4.25 with someone with his frame is, it, honestly, you could, I mean, he could score a touchdown every week. And if you look at Ben Roethlisberger over his career, when Ben has had a great red zone targets, which actually, if you look at the Steelers since 2004, they really haven't had anyone. But the person who I really think of in the black and gold, who Ben loved throwing to in the red zone, was none other than Plaxico Burress. And if you look at Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year, Plaxico Burress received the most targets on the team, even more so than the likes of Hines Ward, which most people would assume. But no, Plax was the guy in the red zone. And I think you could definitely see someone like Martavis Bryant really take himself from being a secondary receiver in the NFL to being a top 15, top 10 guy, especially with all that speed. They love working him in the offense in ways more than just down the field. I think part of his game is going to have to be transitioning out of that one-trick pony deep ball style. And I think that he could definitely be that for most teams in the league, but specifically for the Steelers, I know they love it. They love hitting him with the wide receiver screens. I've even seen them call up some end around reverse type stuff with him. But yeah, it was definitely a bummer to not have him on the squad last year. So I think it's a definite fact though that he has what it takes to have a breakout year.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest thing is last year, when you take a look, the Steelers in the last 6 weeks of the season, weeks 11 to 17, they were fourth in points per game, fourth in total yards per game, and second in passing yards per game. I feel like all those things can only get better with a really prevalent and healthy Martavis Bryant. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be a fact. He's going to step up over what he had to do last year. I need to see him stay clean, Brian. That's really important to me. It's so important to me to make sure that he stays out of Goodell's office and that things run smoothly for him. And I think that's going to hold the key. Jumping ahead here to number three, we talked a lot about him before you joined us here, Brian, but I think it's going to be cool to see him in action for the first time. So TJ Watt, fact or fiction, is he going to be the real deal during his first season?
I'm going to give you – this is probably out of the questions that we've gone over. I think this is probably the toughest one because, honestly, in at least during the Dick LeBeau era, the Steelers never really receive – they never really get a lot of impact from rookie players on that defense, especially at linebacker. And I have to think it has to do with the way that they run the 3-4. I'm sure there's a lot of nuance in that defense that I don't really understand, you know, that I might not, you know, I feel like you probably got to play in the league for a while to really know all the ins and outs on that defense. That being said, the likes of Cam Hayward, the likes of James Harrison, I mean, if old Silverback is saying that this guy is the real deal out of, you know, really early on, I think in early June, James Harrison was quoted saying that, hey, man, this guy knows how to play. Like, he's smart. He comes to work. He knows what he's about. He knows what he's looking for. And I think that speaks volumes, but I'm sure that they'll kind of temper how quickly they throw him out there. I think that the Steelers aren't, they tend to be a team that avoids just throwing rookies to the wolves and kind of having them go through like a trial by fire. They tend to warm them up, if you will. I mean, if you even look at someone like Bud Dupree, probably has what it takes to be like a defensive player of the year. And the Steelers still have kind of tempered how much they use him. He had a great end of the year last year, but TJ Watt, I think, has what it takes to be an impact player. I don't know if the Steelers are going to use him like that.
I think it's interesting you're saying Bud Dupree as defensive player of the year potentially. I mean, this was a guy with 24 combined tackles last year. You know, I see what you're saying in potential, but I think we got to see more out of this guy who's only headed into his third season. I say fact just because I think that, you know, there isn't a ton expected out of him, seeing as there has been, you know, this presence of the Steelers linebacking core between James Harrison, you know, obviously Vince Williams and Shazier in the middle and Dupree out left, but also guys like Anthony Ciccolo and Arthur Motes. You know, Matakevich played really well on special teams last year too. This linebacking core is deep, so they really don't need a ton out of him, but any contribution that he can make on some of those second downs late in the third quarter, you know, and even those third downs in the first where, you know, guys are getting a little bit winded and it's his time to shine, I'm eager to see what he brings to the table there. It's going to be really, really cool. My biggest thing with him is that I'm worried about his ability to guard cover NFL-level wide receivers. I don't think he's got a problem with tight ends coming over the middle. I am just very worried about guys running slant routes on him or curl routes, hook routes, you know, something along the inside just to disrupt the defense and maybe catch him off guard a little bit. You know, that's something that a smart quarterback, like a guy like Phil Rivers or, you know, someone out there, obviously your Tom Brady's of the world, but someone like Aaron Rodgers who checks down at the line, seeing as we are playing the NFC North this year, you know, who checks down at the line and hollers over to Jordy that he wants a quick slant instead of that fly that he's supposed to run there on second and 10, and boom, all of a sudden the Steelers get exploited over the middle, which we've seen several times over this team's legacy. But T.J. Watt, going to be cool to see what the Wisconsin Badger does in his first season. Another guy joining him in that linebacker core has been the man who's been here since the dawn of time, you know, since he walked out of Kent State. And that man, of course, is James Harrison. James Harrison, you know, has been an absolute beast. It wasn't very long ago that LSU's Brad Wing tweeted, "Be the James Harrison of anything that you do." I mean, this guy still is working hard in the gym. His lifts and his workout videos have gotten super popular. And here he is at 39 years of age, heading into his 15th season, and he looks as in good of shape as ever. He gets all these random drug tests, which, of course, he's been passing with flawless colors. But drug tests and lifting weights, now that's a little bit different from being able to produce on the field. So, Brian, fact or fiction, James Harrison can be a top three tackle leader for the boys in black and gold on the defensive side.
James Harrison has been one of the coolest stories in sports for his entire career. Since he started, I think he played on three or four different practice squads. Look, the guy has been around the block. He is the veteran right now. He is the veteran. That being said, I don't think that lifting weights and playing medicine ball volleyball, which is absolutely epic if you follow him on Instagram, but I don't think that translates necessarily to speed. And I think that just like what you were talking about before, just like you were talking about with T.J. Watt, not necessarily having the speed to cover these NFL wide receivers, I do not think that James Harrison has what it takes to be a top three tackle for this team. So I have to go with fiction, even though it kind of saddens me. I think that the road has to be winding down for James. He is just look. I mean, he's a specimen. He's a specimen, and he's probably in just as good a shape now as he probably ever has been. But at a certain point, the knees get old. The joints start to you start to really lose. Like I said, you start to lose your speed. And there was a time in James Harrison's career back in 2008 when he won Defensive Player of the Year, where he was beating offensive tackles off the snap like every play, and he was being pretty much held on 80% of the plays, you know, on passing downs. So I think that, like I said, speed is probably going to be ultimately what kills him. I just think that he loses about a half a step every year, and I think this might be the year he loses one too many.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, age, unfortunately, is a factor. You know, you can only be young for so long. James Harrison, who spent, you know, times with only a few teams in the league, and the Steelers have been the majority of it. They picked him up in 2002 when he wasn't drafted and then re-signed him in 2004 after he spent time in Baltimore. And also, interestingly enough, here's your fun fact, here's your today I learned. In 2003, James Harrison played for the Rhein Fire in Dusseldorf, Germany, in the European League, and he was with the Steelers from 2004 to 2012. and then the Bengals. Ugh, how gross. For 1 year, gross. 2013, and then 2014 to the present. Listen, the man's a two-time Super Bowl champion and five-time Pro Bowler. Whether this is one of his last years, he's certainly had quite the career here. We're winding down here to the end of the program. We're keeping it short here in the end of the offseason. And, Brian, this is one that I think you and I might have some different opinions on this, but I'm eager to hear what you have to say. And this one, not so much Steeler-related, but more towards those boys in black and gold that I congratulated at the beginning of the show. The Penguins, Stanley Cup champions, the trophy should be brought to the first game at Heinz Field. Fact or fiction, Brian?
We're talking preseason or regular season game?
I'm talking regular season. I'm saying like first very regular season game or even, well, let's say for sake, just because of time, let's say preseason, because I don't think it's going to wait that long to actually get to the regular season.
Well, they keep the cup for a year, right?
Yes.
And each, there's like some cool stories about all that, but each player on the team gets a day with the cup and, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'm going to say fiction here. I know that my Yinzer friends here in Pittsburgh are probably shaking their head about that a little bit, but I have to say that, there is just this part of Pittsburgh that will always put, it's a Steeler town. That's a football town. And the only trophy that belongs in Heinz Field is the Lombardi, and that's it. I think that winning teams are winning teams, and Pittsburgh is a city of champions. And I have all the love in the world for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I think that I think a lot of Steeler fans, as excited as they would be, they probably would be, you know, shaking their head. And maybe not so much shaking their head, but I don't know. It puts a bad taste in my mouth, if that makes sense. What do you think?
You know, for me, Brian, and I understand where you're coming from, that the only trophy that probably belongs is, of course, our Lombardi. I think it's an homage. Listen, it wasn't very long ago that the Steelers, you know, won two Super Bowls in the matter of a couple of years. And now the Penguins have gone back-to-back on Stanley Cups, which hasn't been done in quite some time. I think it is worth the parade, but I will give it the preseason. I think it's got to be there at the first preseason game, and then it's got to go back in. Or it's got to be unveiled before, like, Baltimore or something. That's the only other case where I see it as
being
out.
See, that's cool. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and, you know, and that for me would be one instance where I'm like, okay, like, I understand why this is happening. You know, the fanfare is well-deserved, especially for a rival game. You want to hype everyone up, remind everyone that we're champions, and, of course, Baltimore is not, with the exception of two stupid years, one due to a, you know, I almost said something I probably shouldn't. I was going to accuse Ray Lewis of doing something, but I think you all can put two and two together and accuse him of what I was going to do.
That's fact, not fiction course, there. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, exactly. And then Joe Flacco having quite possibly one of the greatest stretches ever before, you know, deciding, hey, I like Chicken McNuggets more and feasting down on those. But, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it here for an off-season edition of Steelers Fact or Fiction. We'll be joining you pretty soon. We'd like to welcome in once again our guest host, Brian Hamlin. Brian, any closing thoughts for those out there in listener land right now?
What do you think? I mean, do you really think the Steelers have what it takes to beat the New England Patriots this year? That's going to be the question.
Oh, my
I ask
God.
Before
oh,
I go
wow.
to sleep for the next 6 months. Like, are they good enough to beat New England?
Oh.
That's it. Well, that's it. Like, that's the question.
I don't even know if I can answer that right now because I don't think we've seen enough of the Patriots. I don't know if we know, you know, how they are going to adjust this year versus last.
Do you even have to see them? It is all about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Like they could have Appalachian State, like the Appalachian State's like practice squad surrounding those two, and they would probably still win 8 games in the AFC East.
Appalachian State way back when they beat Michigan. Correct? Was that who they
Classic.
Toppled?
Yeah.
They beat them on like a field goal. Yeah, there you go. Wow, that is Appalachian State. That's like a Ben Kenobi moment. That is a name I have not heard in a long time, you know? So,
You are a nerd. That's bad.
Yeah, yeah, but you are too, so it sort of makes up for it. My closing thought, Steeler Nation, I want to leave you with this. Pastrami or corned beef on your Permane sandwich? I was once all aboard the corned beef train, and now I think I'm on the pastrami train, Brian. I don't know.
Really? I'm a cap egg and cheese guy.
Really? Okay, so that's outside the box. That's worth discussing. Do you still get everything else? You get the works, you get fries and slaw and whatnot?
Oh, of course, but you got to get – I mean, every time I go, and you, I only go to the one on the Strip. I don't go to the one on Forbes. They actually put a Permane Brothers in up here around Allison Park off of Route 8.
There's one down here in Hagerstown now up in Western Maryland. So, you know, I actually do some work up there a few days a week. So definitely going to be stopping by for a Permane sandwich at some point.
Next time, try out the Capicola egg and cheese and ask for double egg.
Egg on a sandwich. Power move. I'm a big
egg
believer.
Egg on a Permane sandwich. Yeah.
I'm the biggest believer that the best eggs on sandwiches are on burgers. Agree, disagree? Where do you stand with that?
Huh. You know what? I've never had it on a burger, but have you ever had it on pizza?
Yes, it's good on pizza. It's great on pizza.
It's good on pizza. Good on pizza.
Yeah, not too bad. All right, well, now that we've made all of Steeler Nation hungry, that's going to do it here for us. Steeler, fact or fiction, join us here next time. I'm Zach Parnes for Brian Hamlin and Brian Anthony Davis. We'll catch you here next time.